SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let me give you the update on the games. Grizzlies up 52-45, about 2:40 left before the half. Grizzlies have to beat the Bucks in that game. Suns are up 7 on the Mavericks right now, 49-42, 6:45 left in the second. We already told you, Kings beat the Lakers, didn't matter. Wizards beat the Celtics, didn't matter. The games tonight matter for the Spurs, definitely. For the Blazers, definitely. And the Pelicans Magic game doesn't matter at all. So it's Spurs, Jazz, Blazers, Nets. Those are the good games tonight on TNT. So if you're into NBA games, pressure games where Spurs and Blazers both have to win unequivocally, cannot lose, that's a huge deal. So I think those games are going to be fantastic tonight. All right. We starting with a little college football here at Carver High. Where are we going?
Yeah, let's do a little college football. Of course, the fallout still from the Big Ten and the Pac-12 not playing this fall for college football. And the ACC is still a go, and their head coach of the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney, says, just because those conferences aren't playing, Scotty, that's not going to devalue the national title at all. Here's Dabo.
Like I said, everybody has the opportunity to opt out in this environment, if you will. Nobody has to be here as a coach. Nobody has to be here as a player. This is complete voluntary. So, you know, they chose not to play, and I don't judge them at all. I'm not in their situation. So, you know, they made that decision. That's for them. I'm just grateful and thankful that, you know, our presidents in the ACC and the Big 12 and the SEC have given us, continue to believe in our protocols and what we're doing and supporting us and these players. And what they're trying to do and having this season.
Listen, I hope that it works out for Dabo and everyone in the three conferences that are still hanging on by a thread. Everyone else in college football, basically everyone has canceled their season except the ACC, SEC, and Big 12. So let's see what happens. I think they're rolling the dice. You know, they say they've got all these protocols in place and that they're safe and everything else. I am just not in agreement with that. I believe that bad things are going to happen. I think they're going to have some bad news rolling out of those conferences when they start playing these games. I hope not. I hope for their sake that they play and that we get to watch college football in any capacity. Listen, I can watch ACC, SEC, and Big 12 games all day. I can live with those three and no one else. I got no problem with that. Are we going to see anybody get COVID? Are we going to see a breakout? Are we going to see anybody get really ill? Are we going to see anyone die? Those are the questions. The unknown is what's scary about the COVID. It's invisible. And everybody thinks they got it all figured out. Dabo Swinney has nothing figured out. Just stop. You're not a scientist. You're a football coach getting paid way too much money to start giving people advice about infectious diseases. I cannot. It irritates the living hell out of me listening to football coaches give me advice about pandemics. I mean, it really is the most ridiculous thing I've ever sat through. The last 5 months of listening to the BS and rhetoric coming out of the mouths of football coaches like Scott Frost, Dabo Swinney, Ed Orgeron. I mean, it is laughable. I'm surprised Saturday Night Live's not doing skits on it, listening to these fat football coaches give me advice about people dying from an infectious disease. It is hilarious. It really is. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I got to listen to Dabo Swinney give me medical advice? Shut up. Stop.
Well, then let's hear from a couple more head coaches since you like hearing from them so much.
I can't even take it.
No, Notre Dame has two new positives on their football team, we found out today. Here's Brian Kelly on the Today Show on NBC yesterday saying he's confident that they're going to play a season, Scotty.
Yes, there are challenges. There are medical experts that certainly we are relying on in this very challenging environment. We have enhanced medical care. We're very intentional about what we're doing. And we believe that we can play safely and care for everybody, including our staff now. This is not just about the players. This is about, you know, I've got over 50 staff members that are put in this situation as well.
Listen, how many new cases have to pop up on the Notre Dame football program before they act like this is serious? All Notre Dame wants to do, let's be clear, is make money and play football games, and that's how they make money. So they got their weasel way into the ACC playing a big schedule this year. And you know what it is? I think Kelly actually, underneath it all, truly believes this is his chance to win a national championship by winning this quasi-asterisk three-conference national championship. What's next? They're going to have a 16-game playoff of the three conferences for determining the national champion. Kelly can't win a national championship when all Power Fives are involved. He can get to the playoff and get his ass beat, but this is his only chance to win when nobody else will be in it. A bunch of hack teams in the ACC that suck that would never sniff the playoff, and the same goes for the SEC. The SEC has three or four teams that have a shot at it. The rest of them are hacks, and everybody knows it. Yeah, you know, look at the schools. Vandy, oh, I'm scared to death of the commodes. The Big 12, all I hear about is Oklahoma State every year in basketball and football. Meanwhile, they never do anything. They're not winning anything. They couldn't win a national title if the other team didn't show up for the game.
Nebraska's president and AD made a statement, Scotty, that they are not going anywhere. They are not going to go play football with anybody else. They are standing behind the Big Ten. They are part of the Big Ten Conference. Sorry, Scott.
Well, I think I had this figured out from the jump, didn't I? I said Scott Frost's an idiot, and he talks out of the side of his mouth, and he knows nothing, and neither does anyone in Nebraska.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's hear from another coach that's not happy with the developments with the COVID and the pandemic and people dying all over the world. He just wants to play football. Give me some football on Saturday, son. Ryan Day at Ohio State. Here we go.
It is going to be very, very difficult. You know, this whole year has been difficult. But, you know, we're going to stick together and work through it. And it's going to be difficult for a lot of people. There's no question. It hurts. You know, I have a range of emotions, again, you know, just sad, angry, frustrated, all of the above. And I think our players do as well. But they're a mature group. I think you just really be impressed by the way that they've handled themselves. And, you know, they feel like they've had something taken away from them. But at the same time, we're really getting this thing, you know, focused on what's next. And that's why I really believe that we have to give these guys this plan moving forward on what is next. We owe it to these guys.
Well, what's next is half of your team's going to the NFL, and the other half is already gearing up to play in the NFL in a couple of years. And it's really tough to be the head coach at Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and you know, Oklahoma when you're playing with semi-pro football teams and everybody else is playing with high school football players. Ohio State, what a rough job Ryan Day's got managing that NFL team he's running in Columbus. Another guy giving us advice about infectious diseases. Thanks so much, Professor and Dr. Zhivago, for all your input on people dying around the world. And what will we ever do without football? Boy, what would you rather be, breathing or having football? Would you rather have a tube shoved up your mouth and nose or play football? I mean, these guys make no sense to me at all. And in fact, the more I listen to them, the more I'm being turned off by college football altogether. I'm about done with it. Sick and tired of listening to these idiots. I really am. I'm done with it.
Well, three more conferences today, Scotty, are done with it right now. That is the Big Sky, the WAC, and the WCC. They will not have any fall sports coming up this year. So we're getting down to just the Power Three there that have still not done it. Now, Florida State, Scotty, interesting situation. Some of the players are alleging that they are hiding COVID results or not being truthful with the results in the program. Not a good scene for new coach Mike Norvell down there.
Well, they had a player tweet out that he failed a test, and then the school, the athletic department, somebody erased the kid's tweet, and then I'm sure the kid got in trouble. And that's like the principal in the high school in Georgia threatening kids. If you say anything about or put out anything on social media that people aren't wearing masks around here, there's going to be consequences, and we're going to suspend you and kick you out of school. You're not allowed to have freedom of speech in this country, especially in the great state of Georgia with all the rednecks they got down there making decisions. And you can quote me on that too. And then I'll tell you another thing. Like, I'm sitting listening to this guy, Norvell. How many incidents are we going to have with Mike Norvell here over the last month and a half where we start to think that he's scum? Honestly, this is the second time his name has come up with lying and covering up and race problems and everything else. Mike Norvell starting to look like a piece of shack to me. I mean, this guy's dirty. I don't care what anybody says. How many incidents? I mean, if there's smoke, there's fire, right? It sounds like they got a bong going down there in Tallahassee because there's so much smoke coming out of that 5-foot graphics.
And he hasn't even coached a game yet there. He has not even coached a game for the Seminoles. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes for Mike. Let's get to the hockey here, Scotty. Right now, third period, you got a good one. Columbus with a 2-1 lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning are buzzing a little bit, but man, Scotty, this Columbus team just continues to frustrate the Lightning every step of the way, even after that 5-overtime game the other night. They have come back and played very well. I'm a little surprised with the Columbus today. We should stop being surprised, right?
Well, yeah, I bet on Columbus today, and I got to be honest. I think Carpasalo's been incredible in goal, the 85 saves and a 5-overtime loss. He'll never forget that game. I mean, that was the greatest save amount in NHL history. And the guy loses. I said it reminded me of Harvey Haddix having 13 innings of perfect game for the Pirates back in the day and losing the game. Corvisalo again today, brilliant against Tampa. I said this on Coast to Coast. I said it on Pharrell on a Bench. And we welcome in our radio affiliates as well on Sports Grid Radio. And don't forget Sports Grid Radio overnights. Pharrell on a Bench, 1 a.m. Sports Grid, 3 a.m., 5 a.m. Bagels and Bad Beats. Check out sportsgridradio.com. Don't forget, we start in Southern California on the Mightier 1090 on Monday, the 17th. That's next Monday. And Pharrell on a Bench will be on there. So will Coast to Coast. So will Sports Grid. A lot of Sports Grid programming on the Mightier 1090. Reaches 24 million people in Southern California. It's going to be incredible. Check it out. But going back to Corpusalo, I said on this show, I said on Pharrell on a Bench, after that guy had 85 saves, the Lightning celebrated after the Braden Point goal, and they shot 87 shots, whatever it was. And all I know is they scored and won in overtime, the 5th overtime. But they couldn't solve this guy. So where are all the goals going to come from the rest of the series? Proving the pudding. They got one goal today. This guy owns them mentally. He's got real estate in their skulls. The guy's living in a penthouse up in their heads. Corpusalo's the difference in the series. They should be up 2-0. If they win this game today, they even the series, and it's because of him.
Before we get to the games that are going to go on tonight, Scotty, quick little recap last night. You know, the Blues did not look good at all. They were in it for a little bit with Vancouver, but then Vancouver just completely swarmed them in the third period and scored a couple of goals. That young, fast Canuck team, maybe the defending Stanley Cup champs, they need to wake up from the little sleepwalk here.
Yeah, they're in big trouble. I think the thing that I noticed the most was it was a 2-2 game late, right? And then they got blown out. And they have not won a game. They're 0-5 in Edmonton. The Blues look like they might be dealing with a little botchy jinx here. They are not winning. They're not looking good. They got 20 guys from the 23, I think, from the Cup-winning team. And they look like they never sniffed a Stanley Cup. They look like, right now, to me, one of the worst Stanley Cup champion, like, next season teams I've ever seen. Like, they look so average right now. They got their ass beat last night. They didn't look like Stanley Cup. They look like Stanley Cup chumps.
The Flyers got all they could handle from the Canadiens last night, Scotty. Carey Price played really well, but the Flyers end up winning that game 2-1. We find out today that their coach, Claude Julien, will not be with them for the rest of the series. at least. He had some chest pain, so Kirk Muller is going to take over behind the bench for the Canadians. But they gave the Flyers, you know, the Flyers have been very good. We've talked about them a lot. But the Canadians, they came to play last night, and they might in this whole series.
Well, they've come to play against Pittsburgh, and they've come to play against Philadelphia. Here's the deal. Same scenario. The difference is Carey Price. The guy is so good in goal that he can keep them in every single game by himself. All they have to do is forecheck, grind, play their asses off, skate and hit, and be at every loose puck and be the first at the loose puck and hit somebody, and he'll do the rest by himself. Perfect example, 2-1 game. The Flyers had a million chances, and they couldn't sniff another goal out. They're lucky they got two.
Yesterday, the Capitals, after the game, Scotty, were doing a lot of chirping, particularly Coach Todd Reirden, who said that Anders Lee's hit on Nicholas Backstrom was predatory. Don't know what game Todd was watching, or that he employs Tom Wilson on his team. He should know what predatory hits are, having that guy. But you said it with Cam earlier. What is this guy talking about? Like, just keep your head up. It wasn't dirty.
Yeah, I disagree with everything vehemently that he said. I have no rooting interest in either team at all. I'm a bettor, and I hit the bet with the Islanders, so I was rooting for the Islanders as a bettor. But the bottom line is, Backstrom had his finger in his nose, he was picking his boogers, and he got lit up. That's the way the world works in the NHL. If you got your head down, you're going to get lit up, and it's just like the NFL, and nobody cries to their mommy. Reirden. I mean, honestly, Reirden. Every time I hear the guy's name, I want to puke, because they had Barry Trotz as their coach, and now they got Reirden, and he called it predatory. Give me a break. Tom Wilson's the dirtiest player in the NHL playing for his team. Another goal for Columbus. It's 3-1.
Rod Brind'Amour got fined $25,000 yesterday after the game. He's glad he wrote that check. Let me just tell you something, Scotty. They got jobbed on that second Bruin goal, and Brind'Amour let everybody know about it. Nice job by him. When we come back, we'll quickly go through tonight's games.
All right, so bottom line is, I don't know who had that third goal, but they're up 3-1 now with 8.5 minutes left in this game, and that's a huge backbreaker right there. This series will be even.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what do you think, Cam, of the Suns blowing out the Mavericks at the half, 76-57, Booker 23, he means business. And then the Grizzlies up 16 in the third, early in the third against the Bucks. So it looks like the Grizzlies and Suns are going to handle their business.
I got to tell you something, Scott. We should have woke up today and said, every crap team, let's bet on in the NBA today. Think about all the dogs and all the big boys. They're just resting guys, right? And they don't really care. Like Sacramento, they beat down the Lakers. Washington takes care of business against the Celtics, even though they are 2-point favorites. But I will say this, the Phoenix Suns are growing up right in front of us. This bubble experience has been nothing but great for them. They look like a different team. They're taking care of business. And I like that attitude. You know what? Just keep on winning. You guys have been undefeated in the bubble. Just win and win. Win and win and get that confidence. And maybe these other teams can't just turn on a switch. I got to tell you, Memphis has been a little bit disappointing in the bubble, and they're playing a Milwaukee team that really doesn't care. So I got to say, I think Phoenix has a very good chance, Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, Booker 23, and then they get Bridges with 12. Payne has 13. Everybody, Sarich has 8 and 4 boards. Carter's got 2 3-pointers. The kid out of West Virginia, I love his defense as well. Aiden's got 7 and 7. The Suns are getting involved. What do you think of the Blue Jackets getting another goal here up 3-1? I said earlier, Carpasalo, the difference in the series. After 85 saves, he comes out and holds them to 1. Now he's in their head.
Yeah, he is. I made a lazy bet today just thinking, oh, yeah, it's Tampa Bay, forgetting how good Columbus is and how resilient. Can you believe this? These guys lose a 5-overtime game, give up the first goal and come back and win winning 3-1 against these guys, Scotty. It's not, hey, we ripped Tortorella. I know some of the antics and stuff, but he does a great job coaching with his systems. These guys are listening to. Corpusello's a monster, and they're doing this without Cam Atkinson too. He's not even playing today. So guys like Wenberg stepping up. I got to tell you, this Columbus team, what a nightmare to play against. They're just all over you. Like, there's no room for Tampa Bay, even though they have the skilled players. Tampa Bay better wake up. They had a great opportunity to go up 2-0 and bury these guys. Now you're giving the underdog hope. Columbus knows they beat you. They beat you before, and they can do it again. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Scotty. This Columbus team, resilient as hell.
What are you hearing about Julian? Did he have a heart attack?
No, they said it wasn't COVID-19 related. I can tell you that. He had a problem with his heart. There's been no updates from that. He had chest pains, and they didn't want to take any it was very, very serious, so they had to take him to the hospital. Just listening to the broadcast right now and people in the hockey world, our thoughts and prayers are with Claude Julien. I pray he's going to be okay, but I think it's for precautionary reasons. He had chest pain, Scotty, and you can't screw around with that stuff. And Kirk Muller, ex-legend for the New Jersey Devils and the Montreal Canadiens, will be now the acting head coach for Montreal going forward in their series against the Philadelphia Flyers. But we love hockey, and our thoughts are prayers with Claude Julien, a hockey lifer.
Yeah, they beat my Penguins, so I'm not praying for him at all. How's that sound? I'm just kidding.
You had me there. I'm like, what? What kind? Whoa, hey. Oh, that was a good one, Scott. You had me there. Right. Peace, man. Have a good day.
We'll see you. We'll see you at top of the hour. Game time decisions. Carver, how you got the graphic on the NHL games tonight?
Yes, so we got 3 more games after this one. They're about to get going right now. Chicago and Vegas are going to play. Hurricanes and the Bruins, big game two, a back-to-back after they played yesterday morning. And then the Flames and the Stars, late night tonight. The Stars need to get off the deck here, Scotty.
Okay, so I am on Columbus already and getting the 1.5, and I got them on the money line, so I'm loving life there. I think Vegas beats Chicago again. I'd be shocked if they don't. I really would. I'd keel over. I think the Canes at 1.5 and plus 1.25 can get it done tonight. But, you know, I think they can, but I still bet on the Bruins. I think the Bruins are the better team. I think they look fantastic. Pastrnak and Bergeron, Marchand doing their normal trick. They laid down in the games that didn't matter and showed up when it did. I like the Canes with 1.5, but I think the Bruins still win the game. And Flames Stars, I think Dallas evens that series up tonight. I'll take that 1.5 for sure with Dallas. Flames look good in game one. Dallas knows they're up against it tonight. I think they'll get it done.
Let's get to some baseball here, Scotty. First of all, I've got a little report for you for the Cardinals. We know they haven't played in about 3 weeks. They've played 5 games this year. They're going to try to play this weekend. They do have another positive test among their staff. They're not going to play Friday. They're hoping to play on Saturday. They're going to have the players, Scotty, drive rental cars from St. Louis to Chicago and have basically no practice and then play a doubleheader against the White Sox on Saturday. So that should work out really well for the Cardinals this weekend.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to bring Smitty in here now? Is that what we're going to do? I mean, I got all kinds of... All right, so you say, let's do Smitty when we're supposed to do Smitty. I'm just glad I saw Smitty there because I know Smitty's living large in the penthouse overlooking New York City, monitoring the COVID situation. We'll catch up with Smitty in about 10 minutes. But that's all right. I got issues with everyone, let alone Smitty. So as long as Smitty's happy up in the penthouse like George Jefferson, I'm cool. We'll talk to him momentarily. Let's go to baseball beyond. What? Tell me the story about that they're going to – and I don't know if I didn't hear you say this because I'm going all over the place. But did you tell the story about them driving rental cars to Chicago?
Yeah, that's on the table, allegedly. This is from Buster Olney of ESPN. He says that they're going to try to play the White Sox this weekend, Scotty, and they're going to individually have the Cardinal players drive rental cars from St. Louis to Chicago in hopes to play that doubleheader on Saturday and then game on Sunday. So they haven't played in 3 weeks. I'm sure they haven't gotten together to practice. That should be really fun for them all to show up individually in Chicago on Saturday for a doubleheader.
And it's against the White Sox. Run to the window right now and bet on the White Sox before anything happens. Before the odds change on FanDuel, run to the window right now and bet on the White Sox on, when is it, Saturday?
Saturday, the doubleheader, they're hoping.
Okay, well, it's Thursday now. I can get that bet in. I run to the window right now and take the White Sox in both games. The Cardinals are an absolute, I mean, they are a bowel movement.
Let's get to the Yankees and the Aaron Judge injury now, Scotty. Aaron Boone said after the game yesterday, look, I just sat him out, but I don't know his status for Friday. Here's Aaron Boone.
Nothing new. I mean, get with the trainers tonight, and I don't know on Friday. We'll kind of see how, the next 24, 48 hours goes and see where we're at.
Unbelievable. Here we go again with this guy. I mean, was I right about this or what? Like, I have said over and over repetitively that Stanton and Judge couldn't stay healthy if they lived in a hospital. Honestly, I have never seen anything like these two guys, the way they look chiseled, like they're absolute rock star athletes. Meanwhile, neither one of them can stay healthy for 2 weeks at a time. It is truly unbelievable. The Judge now is on the shelf, and if they don't get him back in that lineup, I still think they'll be fine. I think Frazier's raking. I think LeMahieu is hitting like crazy, hitting a 4.5. The guy's at 430 something. Guy's tearing it up again, 4 for 5 last night. LeMahieu is the best hitter on the Yankees, hands down. And Frazier can rake, and they never leave this kid up. It's unbelievable to me. I think he's better than Urshela. I think he's better than Talkman. And they leave Frazier off of this lineup and treat him like crap. They should trade him already. They have treated that guy like he has no talent. Meanwhile, he's one of the best hitters on the team.
Another big injury in the majors right now, Scotty. Ronald Acuna Jr. for the Braves. He's got wrist soreness. He's not going to play this weekend. Here's manager Brian Snitker saying it could be a lot worse.
Nothing, they did all the tests and everything, and it's irritated. So, hopefully they can get it calmed down, and, in 3 days, or actually 4 days, we'll reevaluate him, but it's, probably as good a news as we could get.
Look, they've got injury problems on this baseball team, in their rotation, on the field, in their lineup. They cannot afford to have Acuna out of this lineup if they're going to have any success. They just got done getting swept by the Yankees. They got problems, and I think a lot of it's because of injuries for sure. And they got a lot of talent on that team, but not when guys like Soroka and the rest of them are out of the lineup and done. Soroka's done. So Acuna, that's devastating for them. It's just like the Westbrook injury. They can't afford to not have Westbrook in the Rocket lineup. The Yankees can't, I think, really afford to have Stanton and Judge both out for any extended period of time. It will catch up with them. And the Astros are another one. There's been no Springer. There's been no Verlander. Injuries, we knew they would have a key component of the 60-game stretch, and it's rearing its ugly head right now.
The Mets, Scotty, have shown a little bit of life the last 2 days. They get a win last night. They get a win this afternoon over the Washington Nationals. Here's Alonso after the game last night saying he's feeling good at the plate right now. Pete Alonso.
Just keep building building consistency. That's the main thing. I feel like I'm in a really good place right now. And tomorrow I just want to build off of tonight with some good at-bats tomorrow. I want to take some really good swings at good pitches, capitalize on stuff in the zone, and just hit the ball hard wherever it's pitched. I mean, it's – and not chase. I mean, that's – I mean, it's a simple task, but it's the hardest thing to do in sports. So I'm really happy with tonight. I'm extremely happy. I mean, I'll take that every single day of the week. But tomorrow it's a new day, and I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, and he went 2 for 5 with a run and an RBI. He's up to 240, and they won 8-2 over the Nationals today. So the polar bear is starting to get hot.
The Marlins won a wild game up in Buffalo over the Blue Jays last night, 14-11, Scotty. How about that one? Justin Verlander hopes to start throwing again next week. We thought he'd be out for the season. He was right with what he tweeted. Joe Kelly ripped the Astros, and the Red Sox put Benintendi on the IL.
And the Red Sox are losing right now to the Rays, 5-3 in the top of the third. Pirates up 4-0 on the Reds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. I'm angling in here and moving direction because I'm watching the end of this hockey game. Columbus just won the game 3-1 over Tampa. So that series now knotted at once. Good stuff today, Carpasalo. He means business. I am telling you, he is in Tampa's head. They can't score against him. I know they won in 5 overtimes. It took them 87 shots to beat the guy. I mean, this guy is in their heads. Trust me, you. They've got a great shot in this series again against Tampa. After what I saw in Game 1 and Game 2, I think the Lightning are having problems with Carpasalo. All right, it's time to bring in our boy Smitty from the morning after. He's going to be on In-Game Live today. Smitty, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. Everything's good, Scotty. We just hit we're in the process. We haven't hit yet, but we're getting close to cashing a first-round leader ticket on Harold Varner III, which is very exciting. Wyndham Championship this week. Good day in soccer, too. It's been a good week. It's been a good week. The soccer and the golf picks continue to be very strong.
All right, let's start with I want to go first to get your reaction to the deals in the NFL with Kelce and Kittles. What did you think of those deals? I've been saying that we all knew that Kittles was going to get that deal and Lynch was being coy about it. But the bottom line is you knew they were going to give him the money. What did you think of the difference between the deals, the 5 years for Kittles and the 4 for Kelce?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of housekeeping. I'm assuming that there's different escalators built in both deals that both players want. It's almost like when you buy a car, Scotty, you know, some guys like BMW, some guys like Mercedes. I'm sure the agents, you know, they structured the deals accordingly so each guy was happy. It did seem like San Francisco was more of a squabble. I didn't hear much from Kansas City from Travis, especially recently. So I'm glad they got the Kittle deal done. That one appeared it was going towards a little contentious, and especially with arbitration because of the difference between a tight end and a wide receiver, where Kittles can't believe he shouldn't have been franchised under the tight end tender. You know, he should have gotten wide receiver consideration. So it looked like that was going towards a bad spot, but I'm glad all amicable heads prevail. Cooler heads prevail.
So what's your reaction to the Big Ten and Pac-12 and all the rest of the conferences bowing out of football? And I'll just leave fall sports off the table. Football is all that anyone cares about here. And then the fact that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 are saying, you know, who you to you, we're going to play anyway. That's a dangerous way to make a living, boy. Remember Clint Eastwood in the movie? Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's great. And so I feel like the college football landscape has needed a change for a while. You know, I'm in favor of expansion of the playoff. I think we've kind of evolved past the BCS and we've moved into a playoff format, but we don't have quite the level of depth in that playoff that I think a lot of teams and a lot of leagues would want. I think we were moving towards an expansion. That's where the money was going. That's where the TV, you know, dollars were kind of trending us. And I think this will accelerate that expansion while also kind of, I don't want to say cleanse or purge, trim the fat of the FBS, but it does sound like we have two factions emerging. We have one faction that the Big Ten is part of that faction in a sense, but really only the top two or three teams that are really in contention for a national championship every year. And then you've got a whole mess of teams at the bottom of the Big Ten and even more so at the bottom of the Pac-12. Maybe you have one or two teams in the Pac-12 that really are contenders every year, Oregon and USC. The rest of it is middling teams, and they're kind of grouped into a spot with a lot of these other FBS teams like in the American Conference and Conference USA that really don't have a title hope at the beginning of the season. I'm in favor of moving, you know, the SEC and the top of the ACC and the top of the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma, to a, you know, a different format where we have 30 or 40 teams that are in a playoff format like the NFL is, and the rest of the teams are kind of in the bowl format where they're competing for bowl games. So I think the NCAA's needed a change for quite some time. I think the unfortunately it's getting forced on them in this way, but the landscape, the conference landscape, is going to change drastically after this.
So now that we have those three conferences in play, and let's say hypothetically they had a 16-team playoff between the three conferences for a national champion, do you believe that obviously Clemson is going to be in the conversation, Alabama is going to be in the conversation, some people think Auburn, Florida, Oklahoma certainly. Sure. And there's, you know, all kinds of opinions on this. But do you believe, like, even Notre Dame, that they're licking their chops at the chance to be in this because They couldn't win it when they were in the Power Five. They'd get to the playoff and get their ass beat. I think Brian Kelly doesn't care who dies on campus of COVID if he has a shot at a national championship.
Yeah, Notre Dame's definitely an X factor in all this. They're kind of the joker in the deck because they really don't have a home. And I think they were forced to kind of choose a home. They were going to get left out in the cold here if they didn't say, hey, listen, ACC, okay, we want to link up with you guys for real now because we don't have anyone to play if we kind of get left out of this mix. Notre Dame's always in the conversation. I think if you have three conferences, and from all the sources, the college football sources that I trust, that I've talked to, three conferences is the magic number. If we get three, and right now we do have three, and it does look like we're going to continue to have three with the Big 12, with the SEC, and with the ACC, and then you add Notre Dame into that mix, and maybe Nebraska goes rogue, you got 40 teams. That's enough to have a season. I mean, you know, the NFL does it with 32 every year and they play five more games. So I don't see why a three conference race can't be plausible. And Notre Dame, I think now you can officially stamp them as part of the ACC. I think this, in addition to speeding up the process of getting some change in the college football landscape, the way that it's kind of crowned, the way a champion is crowned, I think this has also given a little impetus to change for Notre Dame to finally officially link up with the conference. It just makes sense. I mean, they just NBC was throwing money at them for years. That's why they didn't. But I think that will change.
Do you believe that the doctors, a lot of them, and infectious disease specialists have said that this pandemic, this disease, this COVID can actually cause in all ages heart problems? And we've seen players now having open heart surgery because of it in the NFL. Are you not worried in the slightest that these three conferences are rolling the dice and gambling with the devil that some college football kid could be on an operating table, have an open heart surgery or have a heart attack or drop dead because of playing football? What will these three conferences say? That I can't wait to see what happens. Frankly, I hate to say it, but they're living with the devil. They're sleeping with the devil. They think they've got all the answers, and I don't think they know any of them what they're talking about. And I believe that something very dangerous could happen to one of these college football players, and it's going to look real bad on every one of these coaches, because I can guarantee you I'm going to be unrelenting on them if some kid dies. I will do them six ways till Sunday till they quit their job. I will crucify anyone that lets some kid in college football drop dead to play a football game when they shouldn't be playing.
I agree that these conferences have no idea what they're doing. I definitely agree with that, especially because the SEC is getting information that's saying we can play. Well, the other leagues are getting information that they can't. Well, who's who here? Where are you getting information from? Release the information. Let us see it. Let us digest it. Let it, kind of get ruled in the court of public opinion. And of course there's risks. I mean, absolutely. I think there's risks with playing any sport. I mean, I've watched kids get stretchered off the field for freak injuries, college kids that are 18, 19 years old, their entire lives change. So I think there's inherent risk involved with sports in general. And it's the job of the administrators to remove as much of that risk as possible. And if we cannot remove enough of the risk, then we should not play. But if we reach a level of, tolerated risk, and I know that's a hard number to quantify, but it's the job of that's why these ADs and these presidents get paid millions of dollars every year. That's your job, to quantify that risk and figure out a plan to best, maneuver around it. So if they can't do that, and if the conferences that have opted out feel, hey, we don't feel like we have a grasp on it, then yes, not playing is the only option. Right now, we don't have any information of why the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 feel they can play. They haven't released that data. So I think there's two variables at play. The devil is definitely one of them, Scotty. I agree with you. It would be bad if one of these kids drops and it's because of the virus. But we don't know that yet. We don't know how rare this is. It is pretty rare, I know, but I don't know how rare. So there's still information I think needs to be uncovered.
Do you believe, Smitty, that Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren will get in a fist fight in the NBA playoffs?
I really hope so. As long as they don't, I think bringing in the side pieces might help, or they're going to have to find ways to sneak them in, I know, because the rules are very strict. But I think these NBA players, if they want to bring someone in to have a little fun over the next few days, I think they'll figure out a way to do it. But I'd love to see some action on the court. We've seen it in the MLB. I mean, I thought we were going to have cooler heads prevailing in some of these spots. We've seen some fights break out. I think the NBA playoffs, and I don't know how you feel about this, but of all the restarts, I feel the NBA has been the most smooth. like there haven't been any, you know, logistical that's issues. Right. There haven't been any crazy stuff that's happened on the court or any. It's been a relatively good watch. It's been a clean watch. It looks like what we're really normally watching in the NBA, minus the fans. So if you can remove yourself from the fans equation, the NBA product has been fun. But I think there's going to be a little there'll be some dust ups in the playoffs. These guys want to win. They've been cooped up for too many months not to.
So tonight, Blazers, Nets, and Spurs, Jazz. Who do you like in those games, Smitty?
I mean, you got to kind of lean towards the Blazers, but they're going to juice that lineup so much, they're going to make it tough to bet. I mean, my notes on Portland, I mean, unbelievable. They've been unbelievable in the bubble. Dame averaging 37 points, 42% from three, and he's had a really solid history against this Brooklyn team. He dropped 60 on him back in November. And the Nets starting five in that game included Kyrie, Torian Prince. They had Dinwiddie coming off the bench. None of those guys are going to play tonight. I think Portland's going to win this game. It's just a matter of how much. I would be a little weary to lay the number. Maybe jump in live. But I think Portland's the story so far, the restart for sure.
And Spurs, Jazz?
Yeah, the Spurs are another one of those fun stories. The Jazz won't be playing anybody in this game, and the Spurs already beat the Jazz by 8 about 5 days ago when they were playing everybody. So you got to say Spurs and Blazers are maybe a money line parlay with the Spurs and Blazers, but you're not getting any value on either of those two sides. They're very public sides, and the NBA has been the most publicly bet sport since this restart. So just tread lightly with laying a lot of points in either of those games.
All right, the Rays are up 7-3 on the Red Sox, bottom three. Pirates up 9-0 on the Reds. Right now, Orioles, Phillies, scoreless. Mets beat the Nats 8-2. Tonight, you've got two games, Padres, Dodgers at Chavez Ravine and Brewers, Cubs at Wrigley. That one's on Fox, believe it or not. You could watch that national game up against those NBA games and NHL games. Real quickly, under a minute, Padres, Dodgers, Brewers, Cubs. Who do you like there, Smitty?
Paddock's been great for LA, and he pitched well against the Dodgers last week. 6 innings, 3 runs, quality start. They did get the win in that game, and Paddock got the win in that game. I'd say Padres are showing me something, Scotty. The Padres really, I feel like San Diego has grown into themselves better than any of these other young gun teams that have a lot of young talent. Cincinnati, the White Sox, those are all the teams that people were hyping up before the season. But it's really been the Padres that have grown into that role. I'll take San Diego on the money line anytime they got Paddock on the mound. That's for sure.
And Brewers Cubs, I got about a minute, Smitty.
Yeah, the Brewers have kind of been a disappointment. Darvish is solid. Darvish has decent numbers this season, and he's got decent numbers historically against Milwaukee. But you're laying 70 cents of juice in that game. I actually think Milwaukee is one of those teams that will break out, and they got hammered last night by Minnesota. So the fact that the total is just 8.5 in that game, I think they gave up like 12 runs last night or something to the Twins. So I would maybe look for an over in that game, but Darvish scares me. Maybe a Cubs team total over is a good way to play that one. Anderson hasn't been great for Milwaukee. I could see the Cubs continuing to score a lot of runs. Chicago's been a plus team in this restart. I didn't expect them to start as hot as they have. Offensively, they've been great, too. Baez is an absolute stud. Contreras can hit it all over the yard, and we know what Brian Arizo can do. So I would say Chicago team total over in that one.
10 seconds, Smitty. You think we'll play college basketball in the winter?
I hope in a bubble, and I hope not in Omaha, Nebraska. Don't make these kids go to Nebraska. Put them down in Florida.
All right, Smitty, great stuff. We'll see you on In Game Live and the morning after. Always good to have you on Coast to Coast, brother. Love you.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, Scotty.
All right, there he is, Jared Smith, otherwise known as Smitty. We'll come back. Suns 99-76 blowing out the Mavs, and the Grizzlies are up big as well. Looks like they're both going to win. We'll see what the Blazers do tonight and the Spurs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Here's the deal. Grizzlies up 93-74 on the Bucks at the start of the fourth. All they got to do is finish them off. They got them right where they want them. Memphis getting it done. Suns blowing out the Mavericks right now. 103-79. Under a minute left in the third. Later, Spurs, Jazz. That one at 6:30 Eastern on TNT. Blazers Nets, 9 p.m. roughly, TNT. Blazers laying 9.5. Spurs laying 8.5. Pelicans Magic, doesn't even matter. Orlando's laying 4 in that one. As far as hockey, the Hawks and Knights are underway. A couple of minutes into the first, no score there. Blue Jackets already beat the Lightning 3-1 to even that series at 1 apiece. Later, Canes and Bruins, Boston up 1-0 after a double overtime win. Flames, Stars, later tonight, 10:30 on NBC Sports Network. Of course, Flames up 1-0 on Dallas in that series. As far as baseball, Rays 7-3 on the Red Sox, bottom three. That's what I'm seeing. The Pirates 9-1 on the Reds, bottom two. Reds have two runners on, nobody out. Phillies, Orioles. I think they're in a delay, a rain delay there. That game is just not going anywhere. Right now, I got a no score in a second. Mets beat the Nats 8-2. Later, Padres, Dodgers at Chavez Ravine, 9:40 Eastern. Dodgers favored. Brewers, Cubs. Cubs favored, minus -170. That one's on Fox. That one at 7:15. So there you go on that front. Cocaine lab found in a Dutch former horse riding school. You got to love stashing all the blow where the horses are. Out-of-work bartenders now serving their own cocktails in Central Park. You can get a drink from some guy walking around like a rover serving up cocktails. In 95, on this day, Mickey Mantle died of liver cancer at the age of 63, and Phil Rizzuto died at 89 on this day in 2007. Justin Thomas won the PGA Championship for his first major on this day 3 years ago. Enjoy the NBA and NHL tonight. Game time decisions up next. See you on the bench.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.